It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Josh DiMaggio and Tony Carter hang you in for the GOAT of radio, Steve the Homer True.
Yeah, it took two of us.
Let's send it over to another GOAT. A GOAT in my eyes, Jason Wilde. Good afternoon, Jason. How are you?
GOAT is way too strong for me, but not too strong for Homer. How you guys doing?
I would like to see you with a goatee at some point. Do you ever grow one of those?
I've done that. For sure.
Yeah. Oh, have you? Okay.
Yeah, no, I've done it. It's not good. Better than the earring, or maybe not, but not certainly not good now because there'd be a lot of gray in it, and I don't need to look any older than I am.
Jason is the most self-aware person in media, and I love it. Thanks, man.
You gotta be. It's smart to be that way instead of being like Alex Stroh, who thinks he can do everything and then
who can do nothing. He literally can't do any. The guy cannot walk in a straight line and chew gum. If he ever had to take a sobriety test, it could be stone cold sober. He'd fail.
All right, Jason. We are to number 12, which I think if we were to actually count the names you listed, we'd be at around 20 of the most important Packers.
No false.
Sorry for the inaccuracy.
It's 30.
The number 12 for the most important Packers are Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs. For all the people who haven't taken the time yet to visit and read on Channel 3000, which everyone should be doing, what was your big takeaway from that portion of the top 20 list you wrote up?
Yeah, so I have certainly cheated the numbers. I'll own up to that. But I think I've only doubled up twice, maybe three times now. And there's a few more to come. But I think, look, both with Dontavion Wicks and Jaden Reed the previous day and today with Watson and Doubs, I think doubling up makes sense in part because if you know which ones of those guys are going to be the most important, good for you, man, because I don't. Like, I know we've spent a lot of time, thanks to our buddy Gabe, discussing, you know, the veracity of just how important Jaden Reed is, despite leading them in receptions and yards each of the last two seasons, talking about playing time and whatever else. But I don't know how this year is going to shake out. You have those top four. Obviously, Watson, we don't know exactly when he'll play in 2025. And then you add a first-round pick for the first time in 23 years by the Packers and Matthew Golden. And I don't know, I put Matthew Golden at 19 because I've seen a lot of really good rookie wide receivers come in who weren't that good when they were rookies, and they ended up becoming great players for this organization. So I'm curious to see how things shake out at wide receiver, but I just don't know, and I think sometimes it's okay to admit that you don't know, but I'm very eager to find out how it's going to play out.
Jason, one of the names I want to ask you about is someone who's not currently on the roster, nor do I think he will be, but because it's the offseason, it's silly season, what's the better chance? The Brewers win the World Series or Goody pulls the trigger and gets us TJ Watt?
Brewers winning the World Series, and I don't think it's close, right?
I kind of figured, yeah.
Plus 4,000 at Pottawatomie Sportsbook, by the way.
For Goody getting T.J. Watt or the Brewers winning
the World Series? The Brewers winning the World Series.
Goody getting T.J. Watt's probably plus 10,000.
Yeah, exactly. And look, again, you guys know me. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert in things that I'm not an expert in. But we had Jeff Passan on our show earlier in the week, and he sure sounded pretty bullish on the Brewers. And, you know, they just took, what, two out of three from the Dodgers?
Three out of three, sir. Did you miss the ending today?
Sweep.
I did. I was otherwise detained.
Oh, but can we?
The bottom line is, yeah, they're really good. And
Yates brings home the pitch, and a ground ball through the left side into left field for a base hit. Freelich trots home, and Jackson Chourio has walked off the Dodgers here this afternoon in Milwaukee.
I just thought you needed that. It's beautiful.
I did. Was that Jesse Nelson on the call? I know
sure
he's
was.
A pretty good play-by-play guy. Just ask him.
That was Lane Grindle, our friend at WTMJ. Credit to them for the call.
No, it's always good to take a shot at Jesse. I love it.
So anyway, I don't think they're getting T.J. Watt. I don't think they're getting I don't think they're getting anybody of import, right? Like, I just don't, even though they have the cap space to do it, I just don't see Goody doing that. And so when Jeff Passan says that the Brewers could be legitimate World Series contenders, I'm not sure it's even in the same conversation, Tony, that I would take either of those bets, but certainly not the T.J. Watt one.
That's fair. Can I just quickly follow up? You said they have the cap space to do it. Why are they? Why do they not spend the money then? Like, where does this go? What are they just waiting for these, some of these contracts, like the Elton Jenkins and the Zach Toms of the world?
Well, I don't know, because I don't know if they're going to pay them either, right? I mean, I think they're going to pay Zach Tom, but again, you know, 6 weeks ago we were being told that he was in a competition for his starting job, which is preposterous. So I don't know. Like, I would say this. I would expect them to extend Zach Tom. He's the only one that I expect them to extend. Like, they're not going to, at least I don't think so, extend Quay Walker, who did not get the fifth-year option for 2026. I don't think they're going to, you know, truly extend Elton Jenkins. Now, if they give in and guarantee some of the remaining 2 years left on his existing deal like he wants them to, you know, maybe then you can view that as a extension, because they'll probably add on some dummy years that are voidable. But yeah, I don't think that they're, I think if Goody's being honest, he really did not like, you know, where they were at while Rodgers was still the quarterback the last few years, which again, I kind of like going to NFC championship games or being the number one seed, but I don't think he liked where they were cap-wise and pushing out a lot of money. That's why they ate all the money for Rodgers after the trade and not designating that as a post-June 1 trade a couple years ago. And they have so much cap space now that they did something I've never seen a team do, which is release a player after June 1st and designate him as a pre-June 1st release, so they could eat all the dead cap money this year and not push any of Jair Alexander's money into next year, which, again, that tells you that they've got plenty of cap room if they're willing to do that.
Over on ESPN Wisconsin, this is the Homer Hour. Josh, Tony filling in for Steve the Homer True. We're talking to Jason Wilde. Over on ESPN.com, Bill Barnwell, the David Foster Wallace of our era in sports writing, released his rankings of the wide receivers, tight ends, and running back groups for 2025. The Packers came in at 17th, which is up from 28th last season. First, Jason, I want to know what your thoughts are on that ranking of 17, and how high do you think the Packers can get with the guys they have and some of the unknowns and knowns that are at the skill positions for the Packers?
Yeah, look, I mean, Bill Barnes more about the rest of the league than I do, so I'm not going to say his ranking is right, wrong, or indifferent. I would say that, you know, they just got so many guys that still have so much more to prove, and it's still, even though, you know, Tucker Kraft is going into year three, I think we have a pretty good idea of how good he is, but we don't know about Luke Musgrave. I don't think we know about any of the wide receivers decisively. Again, with the time that we've spent on the guy that led them in receptions and yards and not being so sure about his future. And then obviously at running back, we know what Josh Jacobs is. You know, I think Emmanuel Wilson is underrated. He came from a small school, but the dude averaged 5 yards a carry. That's hard to do. And we have no idea what Marshawn Lloyd is, other than a guy who has some of the worst luck I've ever seen of an NFL player when it comes to injuries. So 17, middle of the pack, seems fair. But, I keep going back to this, but if the guys that we've seen flashes of brilliance from turn out to be the players that they are when we see those flashes of brilliance, and now they do it more frequently and more consistently, and the quarterback is included in that, this team could be damn good. And so, again, I don't know what it's going to look like on September 7th when they play the Lions at Lambeau, and 4 days later when they play the Commanders, if they're as good as we think they're capable of being, all those guys got to play well from the jump. Because the last thing they need to be is 0-2 at home against two NFC North or NFC conference competitors that are vying for that Super Bowl berth on that side of the bracket. So those guys that we're all talking about, those skill position guys that are, there's so much talent, but it isn't entirely proven. They all, most of them have to have big years for them to be as good as they think they can be.
I forgot about Marshawn Lloyd, but see what happens there.
Easy to do.
Yeah.
Would he play six total snaps during
the
regular
season? Is that all it was?
I think so.
Yeah, six carries. I think he played 10 snaps.
Oh, okay. Oh. My bad.
Yeah. So basically they drafted a rookie this year, rookie running back. His name is Marshawn Lloyd. That's good to know. Jason, I know everyone associated with Wilde and Tausch has Mizorowski fever and has been probably to all of the games. We were talking on this show about sporting events that happened in the state of Wisconsin that you wish you could go back in time and attend, just because Mizorowski is pretty much must-watch, must-attend. What instantly comes to mind for you? It had to have happened inside the state of Wisconsin at any era, at any time. A sporting event you wish you could go back and see live and in person. Cool. But let me throw this at you. This isn't reporter Jason. I want Jason at County Stadium in 1982 mentality here. That's what I want to hear from.
Yeah, well, that Jason went to ALCS Game 4 and went to World Series Game
pretty good.
4 also.
Oh, that's awesome.
So those don't count. And I was lucky enough to go to my share of Bucks games at the old Mecca. First of all, one of the coolest things I've ever been in person at, and I know you're a big Bucks guy, Tony, is being, I was covering it, so it doesn't fit your fan profile, but seeing the Bradley Center the way it was during that 2001 team's run to the Eastern Conference Finals, and should have won Game 7 if they would have had Scotty Williams available to them. I look at that as some of the coolest stuff to be there for. Obviously, I've been in the press box for all kinds of great moments in Packers history. I was in the stands in 1992 for Robin Yount's 3,000th hit.
You were at that game?
So
I was. That's cool. That's really cool.
I was a student at UW-Madison, and I bought tickets last minute, sat in the Euchre seats up in the upper right corner of the upper deck. But I was there, and that was important to me. So I will say this, the one moment that I was not there for, because I was in no way thinking he would actually retire, Paula and I had planned a trip to Oregon in March of 2008 when Favre retired. And so I was not at that press conference. And I would have liked to have been there because Lord knows I would have had some questions for the gunslinger. but I wasn't there to ask any of them.
Do you still have your ticket stub from that game? From the Robin Young game?
I do. And then
Yeah, that was a stupid question.
I need to talk to Jeff from Jeff Sports though, because I actually have a ticket stub that is signed by him from that game.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
And I'd be curious to know what's it worth, as Homer likes to ask Jeff.
Was there any doubt that he had that stub?
No, 100%. If you watch Wilde and Tausch on the YouTube feed and you see Jason's adorned basement studio, yeah, I had a pretty good inkling that was some. And let's, to be fair to Jason here, I always want to be fair, that is one of those all-time moments.
That's my bad for you asking. That's on me. I should have known. I should know you better.
So let me ask you guys this, because I have considered, Paula and I have had this conversation, and she and the girls think it's creepy and weird, okay? So
I am listening.
Who better to ask than you two knuckleheads?
Yep, we're dialed in. Let's hear it.
So I have Robin Young's number now, which if if I would have told 10-year-old me that someday I would have his phone number, I would have never believed it, right? And I just would not. I've texted him a couple times when we've wanted him on the show, but he's like the one person that I still would be nervous about texting.
Yeah.
Like when he's been on the show, he's awesome as a guest. And so I love it when he's on, and I don't get all nervous. I probably talked to him probably a dozen times now in my career, going back to the Badger Herald at UW back in like 1992. But I have all these different Robin Yount bobbleheads. I have that certificate. I have a stadium seat from County Stadium that is signed by him. I have baseballs, one that a sports writer from the Milwaukee Journal got signed for me, that are individualized, and on one side it says from Yount and the other side it's from Molitor. So I got all this cool memorabilia, and it's all kind of, the girls call it a shrine. Mm-hmm. My question for you is, now that, you know, Robin and I are so tight.
Buds.
If we had him do like a podcast episode, and Tony, this is your area of expertise, and for some reason he was going to be in Green Bay, would I leave all that stuff up for him to see, or would I have to take it all down because it's creepy, stalkery, weird that a 53-year-old guy owns all that stuff about a guy that's been retired now for 30 years from baseball and is going to turn 70 in September? What would be the proper, like, is it creepy or not?
It's creepier that you know his birthday's in September than it is for you to own all of these things. That is what we call the decor, man. If you get Robin Yount to come to your place and shoot an episode, we are going to put that shrine in the background. It's going to look awesome on YouTube. I'm all in on this. Side note, because I know Chris Larson's going to murder us if we don't get the break. The first time we had Robin Yount on Wildy and Tausch, both of you guys were nervous. I was trembling to call him, and I got you his phone number. I just want to give myself credit for that one.
Pat on the back to Tony.
Yep. I stole it from Tausch, but still.
I think the proper move for you, Jason, is to keep some of the artifacts, memorabilia, voodoo dolls you got, and put some away. You can't overdo it, but to show that, hey, I really appreciate you taking the time, and here is why we have you here, I think that's fine, because I think Robin Yount understands how important his era of Brewers baseball was to, I don't know, the majority of the people in the state.
I wasn't alive when he played,
yes.
And I met him before
Revered.
The playoff game last year,
yeah.
And he came up to me and goes, hi, I'm Robin Yount, mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, you know, no, I know, shook his hand. It was very cool.
So you're saying I should not text him a picture of the shrine?
I would.
So we can all agree on that.
Yeah,
oh,
no.
Don't text a picture. No. Don't
just
send that.
Just want to make sure we're on the same page.
No,
but now, yeah. Before the Brewers playoff series starts, and we do we'll come up with a creative name, playoff special from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Now we have decor. We don't even have to rent it like we did for Made in Believe. This is great.
There you go. Anything for the team, guys.
Team first. All right, Jason. Thanks for your time today. You back on Wildy and Tausch tomorrow?
I am tomorrow, and then Friday, I'm the only member of the cast who will be on. We'll have Brian Bulaga and Riley Yalkin as our cousin subs of the day on Friday. But we're live from the Pella Experience Center in Brookfield tomorrow, so hopefully you guys have time in your schedule. You guys can swing by and say hi during the show.
I would love to. I'll be producing here for that show, but I will be the number one listener who isn't on that program. I can assure you that.
Thank you for your service.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wildy, as he said, tune in tomorrow. They'll be live. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy will also be live from the Pella Experience Center. They're trying to get as many people out there. They got a bunch of cool stuff going on. But coming up next, we will discuss some of the answers we've gotten of the bucket list Wisconsin-based sporting events that you would like to attend. This is the Homer Hour.